IC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 36 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. State officials today joyfully announced completion of the highway project stretching from 38th to 58th on I-25 and on I-70 from Pecos to Brighton. It's better known to most of us as the Mousetrap. That was the sound of a gigantic mousetrap, but then the mousetrap was a gigantic project, taking some 16 years to finish. At a ceremony in the shadows of I-70 near Brighton, one of the speakers included venerable Denver airborne traffic reporter Don Martin, who coined the mousetrap nickname in the late 60s.
One day, Francis Melrose, in one of the newspapers, wrote an article saying that I had named the mousetrap. My wife brought that to me, and she said, "Is this true?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I've always called it that. Maybe I did."
According to CDOT, the intersection of I-25 and I-70 serves an average of 416,000 vehicles a day. Some 5,300 Colorado consumers with mortgage loans from Household and Beneficial Finance will be getting a check in the mail. Colorado Attorney General Ken Salazar announced today that settlement payment checks totaling about $8.6 million are being mailed out as a result of the AG's lawsuit against Household International and its related companies. In August of this year, eligible Colorado consumers were contacted and had until mid-October to return signed releases in order to participate in the settlement. Nearly 6,400 forms were mailed out, 83% of them signed and returned. In addition to the settlement payments, Household implemented a number of consumer protection practices that are being used as a model to the entire lending industry. A disabled man from Denver filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court yesterday accusing Denver police of assaulting him and saying that the city didn't provide adequate facilities for him. Tyler Hawkins is an amputee and says he wasn't given a wheelchair to use after he requested it. His lawsuit claims he had to hop on his one leg and that the arresting officers then kicked him, knocking him to the ground where he hit his head on a police car. The suit goes on to claim that the police physically assaulted him, tried to plant illegal drugs on him, splashed toilet water on his face and mouth, and dragged him by the ears and hair. Denver police didn't have any comment because it is an ongoing investigation. Deny everything. That seems to be the early operating strategy of Saddam Hussein as he faces military interrogators. The New York Times reports the ousted Iraqi leader is denying that he commanded guerrillas to attack U.S. forces after he went into hiding. He's also denying the existence of any weapons of mass destruction. Saddam is being hammered with key questions now in hopes of gleaning any crucial information while in his disoriented state. Former Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix is hailing Saddam's capture as, quote, a great victory. Blix called for swift justice today, but said he would not back the death penalty. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, meanwhile, has called for Saddam Hussein to be held accountable for past atrocities in Iraq. The UN chief was addressing a meeting of the Security Council called to hear the Iraqi Governing Council's timetable for the handover of power. Steve Mort reports from the UN.
Kofi Annan called the capture of Saddam Hussein an opportunity for Iraqis to take control of their destiny.
Iraqis must have real ownership of the process by which they are governed. Let me also say that it is right that Hussein should be held to account for past deeds.
The UN Secretary General told the Security Council he did not know when Iraq would be secure enough to send back international staff. But he said much more clarity was needed on the role the world body should play in the country. Steve Mort at the United Nations, New York.
Violence continues unabated in Iraq after Saddam's capture 3 days ago. The main flashpoint is, in the past 24 hours, has been north of Baghdad in the town of Samarra. An attempted ambush by guerrilla forces ended with the deaths of at least 11 Iraqis. Attorneys for the defense and prosecution are sparring before they make their closing arguments in the murder trial of suspected D.C. area sniper Lee Boyd Malvo. Among other moves, the judges denied the defense a chance to argue its case again after the prosecution finishes its closing arguments. In sports, the Denver Nuggets come back home tonight to take on the New Orleans Hornets. The Nuggets dropped 2 of 3 games on their recent road trip. Nuggets come into tonight's game at 14-9. The Hornets are 17-8. Former Chicago Blackhawk defenseman and University of Denver star Keith Magnuson person was killed in an auto accident Monday afternoon in Toronto. From 1965 to 1969, Magnuson played for the DU Pioneers. He spent all of his 11 years in the NHL with the Blackhawks, playing some 589 games. Albertsons has discount lift tickets to your favorite resorts. Plus, with Coca-Cola, Albertsons has even more great deals to Copper Mountain and Winter Park. See store for details. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why for this holiday season, we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot's, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with seven great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille La Vie, and White House Black Market.
E will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that. For the holidays, Aspen Grove has free carriage rides. Have the whole family sign up for the gift registry. Make sure everyone gets what they really want.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Castrol Syntec, a full synthetic motor oil. Wadsworth and Bowles, we got a bit of an accident, as well as Alameda and Lincoln. Watch those two particular spots. Everything on the highway, though, up and out of the way. Recently, the leading 5W30 conventional motor oil and Castrol Syntec were tested under extreme heat and stress beyond anything a car would ever face. The winner, Castrol Syntec. Everything else is just motor oil. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Going to be nice and sunny for the next few days. Temperatures going from below average to above average. Today, though, high of 39. Our average this time of year, 44. Later on tonight, down to 23. And for tomorrow, lots of sun, just a few clouds. High of 50. Thursday, sunshine and 46. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150, KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 38 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150, KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We got a lot of hot things going on this week. So let me start. I think I'm going to be back on Fox News again. We're negotiating it, but it sounds like they want me back on Saturday. So as I have the information, I will get it to you. I'm going to be the featured speaker also, and that's the Fox News Channel, not Fox 31 here in town, but this is national. So Fox News Channel, looks like it'll be Saturday. I'll get the exact time and information, and I hope you can watch. Well, you may want your money back if you do, but in any event, I'll be doing that, I think, on Saturday. On Thursday, I'm going to be the featured speaker at the Denver Press Club. Their breakfast on deadline starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, and Bruce Goldberg is going to be the moderator, and Channel 8 is going to be there to tape it, and you don't have to be a member to come and join the proceedings, the festivities. If you are a member, it's $10. If you're not, it's only $12. And so I hope we have a nice turnout, and that's Thursday. Tomorrow, put it on your calendar, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Tell It to Tim, back by popular demand. Tim Brown, our CEO, will be in the studio, ensconced in as much styrofoam as he can commandeer from Saddam Hussein to protect himself from all your questions, comments. Actually, he's looking forward to it, and so are we. Any comments you have to make, anything you want to say about KNRC, any observations, any criticisms, any questions, do you like the new lineup change? Do you not like the new lineup change? What do you want to see happen at this radio station? Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, your opportunity to talk to the boss directly and personally. And today we are going to be joined by Sheila Lukens. She has written a brand new book called Celebrate. It's just gorgeous. I happen to like her cookbooks a lot. She is a chef. She's a cooking teacher. She's a writer. She's the editor of the Parade section, the food section in Parade magazine that you get with your Sunday newspaper. Her bestsellers include the Silver Palette Cookbook, the New Basics Cookbook and lots of others. And she, you see her all over the place. So she's won many, many awards. And I'm looking forward to meeting her. And so today, she'll be with us in the 2 o'clock hour. We have lots to talk about, so I guess we better get to it. First of all, I got some incredible emails from some of you and a lot of incredible information, but let's get going by talking about the Walmart across the way. First of all, Rush Limbaugh, a couple of things. The tabs, we have the tabs reporting, we have CNN reporting on him, and we have one of the Palm Beach newspapers reporting on him, or the St. Petersburg Times. Let's start with the St. Petersburg Times. He has assembled 4 or 5 parcels of land together. And just in the past year alone, do you know what his property taxes were? Rush Limbaugh, the guy who appears to be just one of us. His property taxes on his estate, where he now lives, he's assembled 4 or 5 parcels and put them all together. He pays about $500,000 a year just in property taxes. For whatever that means. It means that he's a very rich man. Here is what the tabs are reporting. The tabs are reporting that the police web is tightening around Rush Limbaugh and his suspected drug suppliers, and the arrest of key figures, including Rush, could come soon. This is the National Enquirer reporting this. Now, don't poo-poo the National Enquirer. They got legitimacy and broke a lot of new ground in the reporting when it came to the O.J. Simpson trial, and partly they do it because they pay sources for information. But they are the ones who broke the story about Rush Limbaugh in the first place. And as Michael Kinsley of Slate Magazine and formerly of Crossfire once said about the tabloids, he said they're 80% right and 20% not right. So you got to figure out which is the 80 and which is the 20. But when the stories are signed or when they're copyrighted, you know that there is some truth behind them. But these are signed stories. They're bylines. But they're saying that the police web is tightening around Rush Limbaugh and his suspected drug suppliers, and the arrest of key figures, including Rush, could come soon. Records seized by Palm Beach County Task Force investigators allege that Rush got overlapping prescriptions for powerful painkillers only days apart, more than 2,000 pills over an approximately 5-month period of time this year from 4 different doctors. 2,000 pills over approximately 5-month period of time. Mr. Limbaugh's actions violate the letter and spirit of, and then they give a section number, commonly known as doctor shopping. This is a search warrant that states that, which was filed in the Circuit Court of Palm Beach County. After police raids on offices of Limbaugh's doctors, a source close to the investigation divulged to the Enquirer that Rush Limbaugh is clearly a part of a major criminal investigation and could face arrest. Besides the medical professionals mentioned in the search warrants, for his medical records, the names of at least 2 other doctors allegedly involved in the dispensing of large quantities of prescription meds have been given to investigators. The investigations could also soon result in the arrests of these doctors. So, in the mind-boggling allegation, the search warrant application claims that one physician prescribed 60 tablets of Norco, an extremely potent painkiller, on August 28th, and 240 more the next day. Back in April, the same doctor also prescribed 84 Norco tablets on the 15th and 180 more only 9 days later. The housekeeper, now here's what the story is. The housekeeper was Rush's drug connection. And when she stopped when she stopped making drugs available to Rush Limbaugh, that's when he went to four or possibly more different doctors. And as the allegation states, went doctor shopping. In the Enquirer's World Explosive Exposé, in October, Rush's housekeeper confessed that she provided Rush with massive quantities of painkiller. Now she reveals that the radio host's most successful talker feared leaving a paper trail by dealing with doctors. He said, "I need pain pills, but a man in my position cannot afford to have his name on a doctor's prescription." The housekeeper quit supplying Rush in 2002, July of 2002. And she told the Enquirer that if he broke his golden rule by turning to doctors for drugs, he must have become absolutely desperate, she said. Rush received prescription medication of a controlled substance in the year 2000 from 4 different physicians between March 24 and September 26, according to a search warrant affidavit. These prescriptions were issued sometimes in the same week and less than 30 days apart. He never told his individual doctors, Rush never told his doctors that he was receiving pain pill prescriptions from other physicians because he wanted to obtain excessive amounts of controlled substances to support his addiction, and that's what the warrant reads. 4 doctors named in the search warrant supplied Limbaugh with 2,130 pills. According to court records, the pills included Norco, OxyContin, Lorset, Hydrocodone, and something called Cadian. Limbaugh's attorney believes that they're just on a fishing trip. But the state attorney, Barry Krischer, quickly hit back. He referred to the ongoing investigation of Mr. Limbaugh and added, it is my office policy not to comment on an open police investigation. All right, so now you have the background of what's going on. Here is the latest. CNN reporting, Rush wants to keep his medical records private. Now, why would he want to do that? Does he not want us to know? I mean, I suppose people do want to keep their medical records private, but I'm sure he doesn't want people to know the extent of his addiction and how many pills he was getting prescriptions for. Maybe he doesn't want us to know if he happens to be on Viagra or if he happens to be on, I can't think of the name of the disease that everybody was getting for a while. Not genital warts. Herpes, that was it, herpes. So maybe he's on, well, who knows? Maybe he had the clap. I mean, who knows? But he does not want his medical records out there. Now, he will cite privacy considerations. But also, this has very much to do with this ongoing investigation, and it is a criminal investigation. Remember, I called it. I said it. I said it on Fox News. I said he's rushing back to work too soon. And I said, this is just the beginning. Everybody's cheering, oh, he's back. But this is just the beginning. He's not on the confines, in the confines of people watching over him in rehab. He's now got all the pressures that his job entails. And here he is without all those people watching over him, and whatever his cravings are, they may very well surface. A lot of people fall off the wagon that very first year. Your brain chemistry is altered if you've been on drugs to that extent. So his brain chemistry is undoubtedly altered. And there's a lot of physical stuff. But beyond all that, setting all that aside, you have got a criminal investigation. So is he going to have to rat people out? What is the story? Here's what CNN is reporting, and this is Susan Candiotti and Rich Phillips. Embattled radio talk host Rush Limbaugh is asking a Palm Beach County, Florida court to keep his medical records sealed from prosecutors investigating whether he illegally purchased prescription painkillers. Now, according to his housekeeper, he never wanted to go to doctors because he said a man in his position couldn't afford that paper trail that the prescriptions would illuminate. So the records were seized from two of his doctor's offices last month. Search warrants itemizing what was seized were filed in court December the 4th. Two more search warrants were obtained but not executed, according to law enforcement sources. Limbaugh's move came as prosecutors were getting ready to file a motion of their own to examine the records as required by Florida law. Limbaugh has admitted an addiction to prescription painkillers that he says he's trying to break. He was, of course, in rehab for 5 weeks. His attorney says no citizen would wish these highly personal details to be held by minions of the state to finger through at their leisure, nor would any sane person wish his medical diagnosis and medical prescriptions to be widely published on television shows, tabloid newspapers, websites, and the like, Limbaugh's court motion states. His court pleading says he's already suffered the indignity of watching a list of his doctors and medications dramatically leafed through on air by television reporters. No, not very much different from what Limbaugh himself used to do whenever he had the chance to do it. And he would do it to people who weren't even at his own level or status, or who weren't even adults. Remember when he was so nasty to Chelsea Clinton and she was a preteen? Remember that? He'd beat up on anybody because he could do it, because he was a porcomorph, a fat old gas bag at the Walmart across the way. So for those of you who don't believe that it will begin to erode for him, I think it will. I don't know to what extent it will, but I think some advertisers are going to want to question whether or not they want to be associated with a junkie. However great his audience is, his core audience will love him no matter what, but there are a lot of people who are not as in love with him as his core audience, and I think you are beginning to see some of the cracks. What do you think about Rush Limbaugh wanting to keep his medical records private in the face of an ongoing investigation? Now, it would seem to me that if he had nothing to hide, he'd say, okay, you know, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I don't want you to see my anti-clap medication or whatever else he may have there. I'm speculating, of course. I'm just kidding. But why would he not want to make this stuff public? What's he on? How much do we only just have the tip of the iceberg? What has he been on that he doesn't want you to know about it? What diseases has he got? 303-382-1150. What do you make of this? Tyrone, live in Denver. How you're with Enid?
Hey, Enid, how you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Tyrone.
Hey, you know, I heard you say that we could also speak our opinion if we had a little criticism. Mm-hmm. So forth, so on.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just make a mention of this. I really wish you had some good theme music.
Good theme music?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, something like, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? Something like that. You know, something that has a little more substance to your program.
A little more zets to it.
Yeah, you know.
All right.
A little flavor, but.
All right, we're gonna put Jordan Lyles on the case because he is our technical director, our musical director, and he keeps us on the air, and he's in charge of all of those things. So Jordan Lyles' ears are perking up.
Let me say this about Rush Limbaugh too, and my man Saddam Hussein. Well, number one, you know, I know Rush has a bad reputation of being hard on people, so forth, so on. But I don't think, you know, I think that's a lot more.
I think maybe if his medical records are going to be released, that's maybe only the hard that he is on other people.
I know, but when it's all said and done, you know, there's so many more important things to talk about than, you know, Rush Limbaugh. I mean, as far as his character and as far as his personality, he only, you know, catered to people who were stupid just like him. Okay, so. I really don't. I mean, him, Michael Jackson, all them guys, the millionaires. I mean, I'd rather talk about something that's more affecting the common man, you know?
But, well, we're going to get there, Tyrone, because as you know, on Enid Live, we play all the notes, not just some of them, and Rush Limbaugh is my main competitor here. And so I'm up against him, so we take our shots as we can here and make our small gains as we can do it. But I just think he's so sanctimonious. I think he was so holier than thou. And he turns out to be a big old fat hypocrite.
I agree with you, but at the same time, like I say, you know, when it comes to these millionaires and, you know, how much time we spend talking about their lives, you know, it's like, it just gets sickening. But let me ask you about this guy, Saddam Hussein. You know, they caught the guy, he was high now, so forth, so on. I'm wondering now that, you know, the Bush administration, they don't have any other reason to stay in Iraq, I mean, really. Now what's going to be their excuse besides all to keep their filthy
Oh, they can't leave. The insurgency, they can't go. Tyrone, it's a dream. Don't even think about it. They can't go anywhere just because Saddam Hussein has been captured. And I have a lot of information, actually some very controversial information. I'm going to get to it.
All right.
But I thank you for the call.
Love the show, too.
Thank you, Tyrone. All right, is Tyrone right? Should we not even mention Rush Limbaugh in the same breath as Saddam Hussein? Do they have anything in common with each other? I have a lot of good, juicy Saddam Hussein stuff, and I'll share it as we continue. But Rush Limbaugh in court. This is Susan Candiotti reporting for CNN. No, I'm not Susan Candiotti, but she was reporting for CNN that he wants to keep his medical records private. Should he be able to do it when he is part of an ongoing criminal investigation into the illegal use of prescription drugs? 303-382-1150. If he were black and if he didn't have the representation of the likes of Roy Black, do you think that Rush Limbaugh would be able to be continuing his radio show? I think he'd be cooling his heels in the pokey. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver's best kept secret, the only station where you can hear host with all points of view. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
So, you went to college, got a great education, and the student loans to prove it. Now do something really smart. Call 1-800-2-COLLEGE anytime, 24/7, and we'll help you lock in a rate as low as 3.5%. These federal loans have no fees, costs, or credit checks. Call 1-800-2-COLLEGE to speak with a college loan professional who will help you lower your monthly payment and lock in these record low rates. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make. If the unpredictable economy and skyrocketing tuitions have left you wondering how to pay for a college education, here's your answer. 1-800-2-COLLEGE provides federal parent and student loans with interest rates as low as 3.5%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. We've helped over 100,000 families achieve their higher education goals, and with rates as low as 3.5%. We'd like to help you, too. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. Call anytime, 24/7.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the Buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
Talk to Greg Dobbs.
Okay, here's real justice. Unmitigated, genuine, obvious, don't argue with me justice. This guy in Tucson yesterday goes up to a Salvation Army setup, and the woman who is volunteering is in a wheelchair herself. She has cerebral palsy. She's 60 years old. This guy comes up, grabs the pot. She struggles with him. He runs with the pot, crosses the street, gets hit by a car.
There is justice out there.
Boy, yes.
Greg Dobbs, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1150 KNIC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:25 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. What's going on? What's going on? Is that Tyrone's music? Where does he say what's going on? Is he gonna? We're coming to that. Well, you're not kidding. War is not the answer. Does it say what's going down? What's going on? All right, here it's coming. Here we go. Oh, we don't have time for the next verse. Cue it up next time. Can you cue it up next time? All right, we'll get it. We'll get it. We'll bring it up. Okay. Jordan Lyles. Okay, here it is. You can find out what's going on. Listen to Enid Live, the Lucky Tuesday edition, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Tyrone, you have but to ask, and we deliver. Later in the broadcast, if you're just tuning in, Sheila Lucan, celebrate 43 celebrations and a bunch of recipes. And why should we do this? Because she's great, and her books are great, and it'll be a lot of fun, and it's the holiday season. We're talking about Rush Limbaugh. And we're talking about how he is really the criminal investigation, if you can believe the tabs are closing in on him, and he does not want to make his medical records public. He wants to keep them sealed, so you should not know what he has been taking and for what reasons. Now, typically you would want to keep, you know, let's be honest about this. Nobody wants their medications out there and what their illnesses have been and so on. But in the interests of here he is the target or part of an ongoing criminal investigation. If he had nothing to hide, it would seem to me that he would probably not be objecting so vigorously. So there is clearly a story here. I wonder what it is. 303-382-1150. Dale, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing well, Dale.
I was interested in this talk about Rush Limbaugh. I did some research on the web earlier on in the year before we went into Iraq because he was promoting the war so heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out a couple things. Like, one, he's on his second marriage. He's been divorced.
No, you've got that wrong. He's on his third marriage.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, you never know what you get on the web, but another thing was that he's never been in the military.
That's right. He had a boil on his behind, kept him from going into Vietnam.
That was the third thing, that his medical condition included some kind of a cyst or oozing something on his near his behind, his anus. And I thought that was very interesting and maybe part of his medical problem.
Well, Dale. Dale. I don't know what to say to that. As people are eating their lunches, joining me for lunch here, noon to three at KNRC. Okay. Anything else you want to add to that perky description?
No.
Okay.
That could explain his need for medicine.
Oh. Okay. Oh. Okay. What are you suggesting? We don't know. All right. We'll leave it there, Dale. Thank you very much for this call. Ah, oh, my goodness. Gracious me. Okay. Rush Limbaugh, he wants to keep his meds private because what? What is the story? Oh, no. He's not on AZT, is he? I mean, what is the story here? Oh. Did you see Angels in America Part 2, Perestroika? Oh, fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous, and fabulous. This is HBO. If you're an HBO subscriber, if you have a friend who is, do not miss this. This is directed by Mike Nichols, Meryl Streep, Emma Thompson, Al Pacino, who gives an incredible performance. Meryl Streep plays three or four different parts, including like an ancient male rabbi and Ethel Rosenberg, who was gassed in the for being a spy in the 50s in the electric, or she was in the electric chair. I think they electrocuted her. And who else does she play? She plays a Mormon mother. And, I mean, this is so incredible. I know it sounds really surrealistic, but the acting is superb. Everybody. Mary Louise, what's her name, Parker? Fabulous. It is so good. You have to see this. And they're rebroadcasting it in one-hour bites. But you could have seen the whole, there are two parts. This is Angels in America by Tony Kushner. 3 hours the first week, and then the next week, this last Sunday night, the other 3 hours, and then what HBO is rebroadcasting in one-hour bites, because each of these three-hour shows are in one-hour segments. Called chapters. The writing, it is so affecting. It is so smart. In comparison to what you usually see on television, we realize when you watch something like that with genius performers and genius direction and fabulous writing, you realize what you know, how low rent what most of what we see is, that even that we give 4 and 5 stars to. I mean, this is absolutely superb. You have to watch it. So I'm giving it my highest rating ever, ever, ever. Okay. So we're talking about Rush Limbaugh. We're talking about whether or not he ought to be able to keep his medical records sealed. And what do you think? And if he has nothing to hide, what's the story here? All right. As I'm coming in today, I am watching CNN, and Howard Dean is giving a speech. And Howard Dean says, one sentence, the soundbite in the speech, he says, "The capture of Saddam Hussein has not made America safer." That's the sentence. Well, Wolf Blitzer, who's guest at that moment with Jay Rockefeller, who is a big deal on the Senate Intelligence Committee, he says, "Do you agree with that?" And Wolf Blitzer is bent so out of shape, I can't believe it. It's like, how dare Howard Dean say that the capture of Saddam Hussein doesn't make America safer? And I'm thinking, you know, it has no effect on America one way or the other, really. And if anything, you can make a very cogent argument for the fact that capturing Saddam Hussein has in fact made us more vulnerable. Being at war against Iraq has made us more vulnerable. So, let me ask you this question. Is Howard Dean some sort of a traitor for saying the obvious? Well, Jay Rockefeller, who is a prominent Democrat, as I said, a big cheese on the Senate Intelligence Committee and has been for many, many years, he tried to evade answering the question, even though you had the sense that he believed with what Howard Dean was saying. But Wolf Blitzer was clearly so upset about it that I was surprised he lost his what laughingly refers to itself as his objectivity. Now, I'm doing talk radio. I'm not doing journalism here. I have opinions, and talk radio traffics and opinions and speculation and facts. We like to be fact-based when we come to our opinions and when we speculate. So I'm not held, talk radio is not held to the same standards of journalism, but Wolf Blitzer, I don't know, maybe he thinks of himself as doing opinion now, but he says, "Let me be clear, Howard Dean says my position on the war has not changed. The difficulties and tragedies we face in Iraq show that the administration launched the war in the wrong way, at the wrong time, with inadequate planning, insufficient help, and at an unbelievable cost. An administration prepared to work with others in true partnership might have been able, if it found no alternative to Saddam's ouster, to then rebuild Iraq with far less cost and risk." Well, Paul Krugman has a lot to say about what it's costing to rebuild Iraq, but here is Howard Dean saying the capture of Saddam Hussein has not made America safer. He is declaring the obvious, and nobody wants to hear it, and everybody's getting bent out of shape. And the next thing you know, they're going to waggle their bony fingers in his face and call Howard Dean unpatriotic. Do you feel that he is for stating what is really the obvious, for saying that the emperor has no clothes, essentially? 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. What do you think? Because I can start to see the drumbeat of, oh, Howard Dean, not patriotic, not supporting our troops. I think he's saying exactly what's true, that the capture of Saddam Hussein has not made America safer. It's really had virtually no effect, I think. Ed in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. It's Ed. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm glad you saw that interview, because I saw it too, and I thought, oh, no, we're going backwards again, you know, to the pre-war bias for Bush. And I was surprised at Wolf Blitzer, and he seemed to totally lose objectivity.
He got visibly, he's usually a very calm and cool and collected character, and he got visibly bent out of shape.
Well, and the other question that he asked Jay Rockefeller was, well, do you think that Governor Dean has the foreign policy experience and knowledge, et cetera, to be president? And it's like, why would you ask that question now? He's not been in office. And
did anybody ask that question of George W. Bush, who was so incurious, he had almost never been to Europe?
Exactly. This is a guy that won't read a newspaper.
He doesn't read. He's highly incurious. Even people who are staunch conservatives are dismayed.
And I've been so surprised at the media just jumping on this and acting like, oh, well, it's all over. It's a slam dunk. It's like,
we won. We've now won the war. We won the occupation.
But it's like whenever we invaded Panama, did we not expect to get Noriega? You know, it's like, why did it take so long to get Saddam in the first place? It still doesn't justify the war. We're the weapons of mass destruction. That's the justification for the war.
That we're so imminently capable of destroying the United States that they could hit the East Coast. So all those seniors living in Florida were rattled beyond belief. All of them busy voting for Pat Buchanan, apparently. All right, Ed, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, Zena in Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, hi.
Hi, Zena.
I haven't ever listened to your show before. I apologize. So I'm kind of coming in not knowing exactly what your stance on things are, but I just wanted to make a comment about this whole, you know, what you were just talking about with Howard Dean and Saddam and things. And it just seems to me that no matter what happens here, you know, first people are up outraged that we didn't kill Saddam initially and the war was a terrible mistake and all this. And then they catch Saddam and the same people are saying, ah, well, that's nothing. I mean, we should have got him a long time ago. And then
But as a practical matter, all that Howard Dean said was it doesn't make America any safer. Does it make America any safer that we caught him or we didn't catch him?
I think that it shows it may not make us, you know, totally invincible, obviously.
No, the country. Does it make America safer that we caught Saddam Hussein? Does it have any difference in your life?
I think it does. In terms of showing what we set out to do.
No, that isn't the question. What we set out to do or the perception of us, that's not the question. The question is, are we safer as a country? It has no effect. It doesn't have any effect on whether you go to the grocery store or you don't, whether some terrorist is hiding to blow up the Golden Gate Bridge or the Eisenhower Tunnel or not. It has no effect. And that's all he's saying.
Okay, yeah, well, maybe in that simplistic of a sense, yeah.
No, it's not simplistic. It's just a sentence that happens to be truth. It has no effect one way or the other. It has a morale-boosting effect. I will grant you that. It has some perception that we're maybe making a little bit of progress. But in terms of making us safer, Zena, how does it make us safer?
Well, yeah, in terms of that, it doesn't. I mean,
no,
I
all right. So that's all he's saying. It's not about whether he's patriotic or he's not, or
right.
Was it good that we caught Saddam or that we didn't. It doesn't make us safer. And the idea that it does is, but Jay Rockefeller did jump on something that Bush linked once again in an oblique way, 9/11 with Iraq, and there is no, he said, he's been sitting on the Senate Intelligence Committee for a long time, he said no connection between 9/11 and Iraq, so it was good to have that underscored. I thank you for the call. I hope you'll call us again, Zena. We need to break for the news.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 38 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Electronic Boutique. The mousetrap is finished. In a ceremony today, officials announced the completion of the 16-year project at the intersection of I-25 and I-70. CDOT says an average of 416,000 vehicles pass through the mousetrap each and every day. Colorado Attorney General Ken Salazar today announced that some $8.6 million in settlement checks are being sent to Colorado consumers who had mortgage loans from Household and Beneficial Finance. The checks are being sent to about 5,300 people in Colorado. Fort Carson has lost another of its soldiers. Specialist Ryan C. Ferguson of Taylor, South Carolina, received chest injuries after falling from a vehicle in which he was riding yesterday. Ferguson is the 31st Fort Carson soldier to die in Iraq. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are back in action at the Pepsi Center tonight. They host the New Orleans Hornets. Here's a holiday tip from EB Games. Trade in your used video games for huge discounts on all the hottest new releases. Only at EB Games, an electronics boutique, where we take games seriously. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Has the drivel from the left and right become as stale as the fruitcake you'll receive for Christmas? PlayingPolitics2004.com has fired a missile across the bow of American politics. They've created the perfect stocking stuffer for the person who still has a sense of humor after listening to Ann Coulter and Al Franken. These two 54 card decks have been rejected by the New York Times because they picked on them, but described as awesome by U.S. News and World Report. These cards at last represent a view from the center, which means they don't like the stance that either far left or far right takes. Better than any board game and perfect for the student, professional, or homemaker. PlayingPolitics2004.com is sure to make your holiday gatherings a spirited event as you gather with friends and family. These decks are moving faster than Bill Clinton's hands and George Bush's policy statements. So order now in time for Christmas. Playing Politics can be viewed and purchased through the tattered cover, the Artisan Center, or at www.PlayingPolitics2004.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Office Depot. Trying to clear an accident southbound 225 at Yosemite. Also got an injury accident being reported out in the Aurora area at Mississippi and Blackhawk. Watch for emergency vehicles, traveling en route to there. From now until December 20th, buy a photo printer for $150 or more and get a $50 gift card and free Office Depot photo paper. In-store only. See store for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. You're going to need the sunglasses for the next few days. Topping out at 39 for a high today, below our average of 44, but still lots of sun. Later on tonight, clearing up down to 23. For tomorrow, just a few clouds, but more sun, high of 50. And for Thursday, sunshine and 46. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150, KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 38 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and I'm inviting you to get your holiday cheer from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, located at 12th and Broadway. Well, it's that time of the year with the holidays, and a lot's going on between now and the first of the year. And Brenda Francis from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits is here with me now. Brenda, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Doug, and you?
I need your help. We got holiday parties, just any good time with friends. Help me out here.
Well, Doug, we pride ourselves on finding inexpensive bottles of wine that will just knock your socks off. Any occasion that you have, in any price range, we can find the perfect bottle or case of wine. If you're entertaining, we can work with any budget so that all of your friends will be impressed with the wines that you've served at your party.
Golden Triangle is very tech-savvy, too. They have a great website where you can view sales items and sign up for the weekly newsletter. Go to GoldenTriangleWines.com. And don't forget, you'll get a 10% discount off wines if you tell them you heard it right here on KNRC.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stock indexes are mixed up right now, as they have been much of the session. The Dow is up 70 points, S&P 500 gaining 4, the NASDAQ is losing 4. Flip in the breadth of stocks, though. Advancers are now just ahead of decliners on the big board. Big news from Orbitz, the travel website, long in plans for an initial public offering, is scheduled to go public tonight. Orbitz is hoping to raise $100 million, and the five airlines that started the site are hoping to sell their stakes and make close to $200 million. Airline stocks are mixed, though. United's parent UAL and Northwest are gaining. American parent AMR plus Delta and Continental are slipping. Boeing is headed higher. Right now, the stock is up more than a half dollar as traders place bets on the company's announcement set for later today regarding its new 787 passenger jet. Its design accentuates passenger comfort. Boeing has lost ground on new jet orders this year, mostly to its biggest rival, European plane maker Airbus. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1244 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Sheila Lukens will be joining us. She's the food editor for Parade Magazine. She's written all these best-selling cookbooks. I love her work. I'm still using her vinaigrette recipe, which is, you know, oil and vinegar for salads, and it's great. Always gets compliments, and as we all know, I can't cook worth a damn. Well, I can cook, but not in the kitchen is my line. We like to sizzle, but not in the kitchen. Anyway, we're talking about a number of things. We're talking, first of all, we were talking about Rush Limbaugh. I want to clarify that I'm only speculating on why he doesn't want, why he wants his medical record sealed. I mean, you know, I'm asking questions like, does he have the clap? Does he have diseases that he doesn't want us to know about? I mean, what's the story here? Is he on AZT? I mean, here he is, a target of a criminal investigation, and he doesn't want anybody to know what his medications have been, including apparently the investigative body. So what is it that he doesn't want us to know is the question. So now I get an email, and I'm asking, should his records be sealed? What does it indicate? He is my main competition. I want to say something to you. You are never going to hear this information on the Walmart across the way. Why? Because he supports them. This is Clear Channel. He is Premier. Premier is owned by Clear Channel. So you're never, any details about Rush Limbaugh, I doubt that you're going to hear the skinny across at the Walmart across the way. So this is the only place, I think, that you're going to get the straight story. So now I get an email from a listener named James, and he said that he started listening to me the past couple of months, and he says, I'm writing this letter to inform you, however, that I am no longer going to listen to your show. It is not because you're a bad talk host. In fact, I think you're extremely intelligent and well-spoken, and have enjoyed listening to you. He has enjoyed listening to, he says, to my opinions on a variety of topics. It is due to your never-ending bashing of Rush Limbaugh. Most talk show hosts never even mention the name of competing hosts, but unfortunately, you seem to feel the need to bring it up and bring up his name daily, which I don't bring up his name daily, and ramble on about his irrelevant business like an insecure child. Well, is it irrelevant that somebody who thinks that drug addicts should be cut no slack at all and sort of sent up the river for good, lock them up and throw away the key? Is the hypocrisy irrelevant when somebody is affecting of the public dialogue that he was made an honorary member of Congress? Remember that? Because he was able to elect so many people, he was able to influence the dialogue to that extent. Don't you think it's important to sort of point out these hypocrisies? I do. We're looking for the truth wherever we find it. He said, you should try to focus on your own strengths, talking about issues that really matter, and not to harp on someone else's misfortunes. Regards, James. Well, James, we hope we can lure you back. This is the one place where you're going to get all the information we can find for you, not just some of it. So 303-382-1150, you may want to respond to James's email to me. He's never going to listen again. We are talking about Howard Dean saying that the capture of Saddam Hussein has not made America safer. He said this on the air. Wolf Blitzer went practically ballistic. I've never seen anything quite like it, not from Wolf Blitzer exactly. And it's like he's unpatriotic to even suggest that the capture of Saddam Hussein has not made America safer. In fact, he's just stating the obvious, I think, and the truth. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Steve in Louisville. Steve, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Steve.
I believe that the capture of Saddam Hussein has made America safer. I don't know whether it'll turn out that way, but
how?
I believe it will. I believe that that
how,
it will.
How has it made America safer?
Let's put terrorist countries on notice that if they attack the United States, then they are going to be destroyed.
But how does capturing Saddam Hussein make America safer? Capturing Saddam Hussein.
Capturing Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, what difference does that make to your daily safety?
Oh, I think it makes us safer because I think the terrorists are on notice that attacking America is going to cost them.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You keep repeating that like a mantra. Where did you get that statement? Were you listening to Rush across the way at the
moment? I'm listening to you. Listening to Rush.
Okay.
Recently,
but I mean, really, Steve, let's talk about this honestly. In your daily life, in the daily life of Americans all over this wonderful country, how does capturing Saddam make any difference? Other than in terms of morale, you could say everybody hooped and hollered when they brought him in, that it was certainly good for the morale of the troops. It maybe gives us a little bit more, perception of a little bit more, that we were able to accomplish a little bit more because, you know, we wanted to topple him, and so far he's been elusive. Those points I will concede to you. But I don't see how capturing him makes one bit of difference to our safety, and you can argue very cogently that going to war against Iraq, in fact, makes us more vulnerable, makes us more unsafe. Our first responders are there, not here. We've committed tons of money there, not to our own security considerations here. Lots of jurisdictions without even hazmat suits. So, you know, and instead of committing our troops to ferreting out Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda folks, everybody's eyes and efforts have been directed to Iraq. So in many ways, we are more vulnerable, not less vulnerable.
Well, I don't believe that. First of all,
you can believe whatever you want, but give me some facts. You can tell me, you can believe, Steve, that the earth is flat, but that doesn't actually make it flat. So don't tell me what you believe. Give me some facts. How are we safer?
In the October 20th Rocky Mountain News, Delroy Murdoch wrote an article about Saddam Hussein's al-Qaeda ties. Also, William Sapphire did it just a week
There
ago.
Are no ties with al-Qaeda.
Well,
there are no ties with, there are really no significant ties with 9/11. If you're talking about trading Mohammed Atta, that's something that's recently emerging, and somewhere I read that that may not be exactly true. So I have to research that further. But if you're talking about training one, person, that's really not very significant. So tell me some more. How does bringing in Saddam Hussein make us safer? I still don't have any facts from you.
Right. How about reading Case Closed by Stephen Hayes in the Weekly Standard? It's about several different ties. I mean, you're talking 20 to 30 different
ties. Is that the story where Douglas Feith was the author? Because that has been revealed as not being factual.
By who? By you?
Not by me, Steve. But you've got to read more than some of these people who are writing hoaxy stuff.
Well,
but still,
you're citing me
authors. Cite me facts that you can relate to me. Don't send me off to the library right now. We are in the middle of a program. Tell me why you think, or not why you think or feel, but what facts are that lead you to believe that we are now safer because we brought Saddam Hussein in.
You want a fact?
Yeah.
All right. In May of this year, two of the families of casualties, 9/11 casualties, won a lawsuit against Saddam Hussein and Iraq for the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The judge in the case was Harold Bear, a Clinton appointee. He awarded $104 million to the two families of the 9/11 casualties. So that's a fact.
Because, no, you're talking about Saudi Arabia. You're not talking about Iraq.
About Saudi Arabia.
Well, if you have the... But what is... I'm not asking you about a lawsuit. I am asking you how Saddam Hussein catching this man alters anything and makes us safer. And I've given you about four opportunities. The board is full. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, Steve. I thank you for the call, but you have not made the case. 303-382-1150. Susan in Allen's Park. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Steve doesn't know the facts, and the elephant in the living room is that it's oil, oil, money, money, money. Of course catching Saddam Hussein doesn't make us safer. All it does is insult and offend the entire Arab world. At the same time, we're making back deals with Saudi Arabia so we can keep the oil flowing so all of George Bush's big buddies can make tons of money. $166 billion this year alone is going towards this Iraqi operation, and all it is doing is lining the pockets of Wolfowitz and Pearl and the Carlyle Group and all of Georgia.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we can't make too many allegations, although there's a tremendous amount of profiteering going on. Some of these companies are being forced to do business with Kuwaiti-owned companies that are overcharging us, and they have ties. In fact, I'm going to read you Paul Krugman about that because that's a really interesting column today. I don't think it's only about oil. I think there's way more complexity than simply
about
being
power,
oil.
Too. It's about position.
It's about reshaping the region, and it's about a half-baked idea that if they have thought through that idea the way they thought through the occupation, then I would say, Susan, God help us. And I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Bob on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. In regards to whether or not we're safer or not, I don't think we're safer. I think what it does do is it gives us an opportunity to reframe our position vis-a-vis Iraq. We have a wonderful opportunity now to say it's time to internationalize this. It's time to start handing this back over to Iraqis. And in fact, the Iraqi people have not had access to news services.
How are we going to internationalize it when we've insulted most of our closest, oldest allies when we are telling them on the one hand, you're not getting a penny out of the reconstruction, and on the other hand, and oh, and by the way, could you please forgive the debt from Iraq? That's Jim Baker has been dispatched. Whenever W gets into the soup, the old man dispatches Jimbo to clean it up.
I agree, and I think that the only way we truly can internationalize it is to change the political parties that's in control right now. Because, frankly, the rest of the diplomatic world does not trust George Bush. He's voted as the most likely threat to world peace right now, right after Kim Il-sung in North Korea.
Well, maybe we have to take him out of his White House hidey hole in the next election. I thank you for the call.
Take him out of the Washington spider hole is right.
Thank you for the call, Bob. 303-382-1150. The lines are full. They'll open up. I think there's one line open. Grab it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your friends about Denver's best kept secret. Talk radio where you can hear both sides throughout the day. AM 1150, KNRC.
Fry Brothers Vineyards, Modesto, California.
Imagine we could slow life down a little and find a place where redwoods stand tall and time flows slowly. Redwood Creek, where the tradition of taking time has never been forgotten. Where an unhurried approach to winemaking leads to a richer, smoother Chardonnay. Wines from Redwood Creek. Good things take time.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Community Credit Counseling Services is a nonprofit providing financial education to the general public. This holiday season, they remind you to make a budget and set spending limits for each gift. Making a list will minimize impulse purchases, and not using credit cards to pay for gifts will eliminate high interest charges. For more ways to make smart financial choices this holiday, go to www.community-credit-counseling.com or call 303-233-2773.
Albertsons has discount lift tickets to your favorite resorts. Plus, with Coca-Cola, Albertsons has even more great deals to Copper Mountain and Winter Park. See store for details. Albertsons, helping make your life easier.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
1, 2, 3,
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and I know for sure.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1256 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I just got this email from Pete and Mary. Enid, with Russian Mind, it's not the crime, it's if you get caught. It's a cut from Tower of Power, the album Urban Renewal. We'll see if we can dig that up. I'm getting a ton of emails from people. And as we continue, I have some sort of shocking news that I want to share, and I'll do it in the next hour because we don't have time in this one, about Saddam Hussein and some of the allegations that are made around his capture and where he really was and what he might have really been doing. Kyle, Aurora, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid, it's Kyle. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, you know, in response to your question, I guess, you know, at this point, you know, the capture of Saddam really probably doesn't make us any safer at all. However, I think the bigger question is, you know, what is our presence in the Middle East? Is that going to make us safer in the long run? And I don't know if you saw in the Rocky Mountain News last week an article called Political Impotence Fueling Islamic Terror. It was about Walter LeCure, if you're familiar with him.
I'm not.
He's a lifelong academic who's taught at Harvard, Brandeis, and Tel Aviv universities. He's considered one of the founders of, you know, I guess the science of studying terrorism.
And what does he say?
Well, you know, he says, in fact, in the article, which was...
tell me quick. We don't have much time, so tell me quick.
Expert sees no end to terror attacks or hatred behind them, but doesn't despair. But
so are you saying that just going in there to try to clean up and reshape the region will have virtually no effect?
Or well, no, I'm not. You know, the truth is I don't know what effect it'll have.
What does he say? Will it have any effect?
Well, yeah, you know, what he says that I think is pretty interesting is he says that, he says throughout history, superpowers have always been hated. Americans always take this issue to heart because as a people, they want to be liked so much, you know, to be hated and feared is to commit suicide.
All right, we're going to leave it. We're going to leave it there, Kyle. I thank you for the call. Let's head over very quickly to Darren in Highlands Ranch. Hi, Darren. We don't have much time. Welcome.
Hi, Ina. How you doing?
Good. Enid, E-N-I-D. What's on your mind?
Good. Hey, you know, I know that you mentioned that it didn't have any effect on, you know, the life, you know, our lives right now that Saddam Hussein was captured, you know. And it
has it made America safer is the question. And tell me quickly, what's your answer to that?
Well, you know, in reality, you know, back in World War II when 6,000 Jews were killed, you know, it didn't make it have any effect on my grandparents. Or, you know, their parents, or even
it was
my
six,
mother,
it was
mother
six,
and father.
It was 6 million Jews, actually.
Oh, 6 million, that's what I meant. Did I say 6,000?
You did. You said 6,000. But tell me, you're saying what? It's important that we capture Saddam Hussein?
Absolutely.
We stood there, and we supported him while he did all these tyrannical things. He was on the payroll of the CIA. I think capturing him makes no difference whatsoever to our safety. It makes a lot of difference to morale. I'll concede that. But I don't think it makes any difference to the safety of this country. I thank you, though, Darren, for the call. I hope you'll call us again. And don't go anywhere. Two more hours of Enid coming right up. I have some sort of shocking allegations that I want to share with you about Saddam Hussein coming from a fairly reputable source. See what you think about it. Two more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Live, the Lucky Tuesday edition.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 38 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AT&T Wireless.
There's an old saying that says that if you build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a path to your door.
That's Colorado Governor Bill Owens, who is among the officials celebrating the completion of the mousetrap at I-25 and I-70 today. The governor says there was a time when there was no I-25 and no I-70.
We all know that the Valley Highway became the I-25 in 1956, but even then there was no I-70. It wasn't even part of the original interstate highway system. Interstate 70 was actually an add-on.
The project took 16 years to complete, and Denver City Councilwoman Judy Montero, whose district includes the mousetrap, says at times this project hasn't been easy for her constituents.
It's no secret that citizens in these North Denver neighborhoods have lived with major highway construction for nearly 16 years. Completion of this project will have a positive effect on the neighbors that surround us today.
According to the Colorado Department of Transportation, an average of 416,000 vehicles roll through the mousetrap every day. About $8.6 million is being mailed out to some 5,300 Colorado consumers who had mortgages with household and beneficial finance. Colorado Attorney General Ken Salazar announced today that the settlement checks were being mailed out as a result of his office's lawsuit against Household International and its related companies. In August, nearly 6,400 forms were mailed out to eligible consumers. 83% of them were signed and returned by the mid-October deadline. Along with the settlement payments, Household has implemented some consumer protection practices that are being used as a model for the rest of the lending industry. The next step in the bid to oust Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder Tracy Baker is set for February 24th. This after county commissioners today set that as the date for Baker's recall election. Scott Loudenslager is with the committee to recall Tracy Baker.
Ever since this effort started, it's been kind of nebulous as to when it might end, and now that there's a date set, I think that we can really get our arms around something a little more concrete.
Loudenslager admits that as the concrete dries, that February 24th deadline date could be pushed because of legal maneuvers by Baker. Not counting the recall election, the county's expenses related to investigation, attorney's fees, and the like have exceeded $200,000. Baker is accused of mismanaging county funds, intimidating his staffers, and sending steamy love notes to his girlfriend on county computers. No need to panic if you see smoke and flames near Conifer. The U.S. Forest Service is conducting a prescribed burn on between 50 and 100 piles of brush, branches, and other stuff recently thinned from the Flying J Ranch Park area. The Iraqi people were liberated in spirit by the weekend capture of ousted Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein.